A year ago, I started a series on the Beatitudes, and I've carried on that. Last week, we looked at verse 6, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. And I thought this evening we might as well carry on and look at verse 7. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall be shown mercy. They will be shown mercy. So this is part of Sermon on the Mount that the Lord Jesus Christ is preaching, teaching to his disciples. The great crowds there listening in as well, but he's teaching his disciples how they are to live, how true believers should live for him. What should be the expression in their life as to how they should be? What should characterize their living and their acting out or their ongoing life in this world, and not just how they should live, but also the fact that if we live as faithful disciples of Jesus Christ, if we put on and show and exhibit these qualities, then God has promised to bless us. He's promised to bless us and to give us a sense of contentment. He's promised to feed us spiritually. He's promised to make us, in a sense, happy. So this evening, Matthew chapter 5 and verse 7, blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Later on in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, he told a parable about a man who was in debt, and he went to his master and begged him for mercy. And the master cleared him of his debt. The master was merciful to him. And then the man went to somebody who was in his debt and demanded payment. And because that person couldn't pay it, he had him thrown into prison. And the master came along to the man and said, shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had mercy on you? Because the man had begged mercy from his master, but then he'd been very severe and unmerciful to the person in his debt. And so the master had this man put in jail until he could pay that debt the master had originally forgiven. And Jesus says at the end of that parable that his heavenly Father will treat people the same way if we don't forgive our brother, if we don't have mercy upon our brothers and sisters in Christ. Indeed, mercy upon unbelievers too. But being merciful is a quality that perhaps we could think of as being an example of what we were thinking about last week, a righteous act, being righteous. And what I want to do is think about what it means to be merciful under three headings. And unlike this morning, I will make every effort to point out when we start each point. So the first point, the mercy of God. I'm going to talk about the mercy of God. The second point is going to be the mercy of Christ's disciples. And thirdly, the blessing that God gives to those who are merciful. So firstly, the mercy of God. Let's think about the kind of mercy that God shows to us and God has shown to mankind. We might think of mercy as it said in a dictionary, compassionate forbearance, particularly towards those who are in your power. Somebody is in our power, as many people experience in life. If they're in somebody else's power, if they're under somebody else's authority, that person can abuse their authority and be very overbearing and being very unmerciful. But compassionate forbearance is the opposite of that. It's being merciful and kind and good to somebody who you have really got the freedom to be unpleasant towards. You're doing the opposite. You're being merciful and kind to them. So compassionate forbearance upon those in our power. And so we have to say that the whole of mankind, the whole of humanity is under the authority of God, is under the power of God, if you like. There's no one greater than God. There's no other gods in the world, no other gods in existence. There's no power upon earth whether it be a ruler, a president, a king, whoever, the president of the biggest corporation in the world. Nobody is over our God. God is in control over us. He has power over the whole of the world, over the whole of humanity, and he has shown great mercy to us, to mankind. Perhaps we could think of it as a practical outworking of God's love. Mercy, a practical outworking of God's love. We believe that God loves us. But mercy, to me, is a sense of doing something, love in action. God doing something for us. And he has demonstrated his mercy towards us, hasn't he, in sending his son to die for us. That's a particular revelation of his mercy. But first of all, let's think about God's general mercy to humanity, his general mercy upon everyone. In Acts chapter 14, Paul, the apostle, is preaching at Lystra, and he says, God has not left himself without testimony. He has shown you kindness by giving you rain from heaven and crops in their seasons. He provides you with plenty of food and fills your hearts with joy. Paul is explaining to unbelievers, probably Jews and Gentiles, explaining to them that there is a God and that he hasn't left people alone. He hasn't left them without any communication. He has spoken to mankind through the weather. He's given rain from heaven and crops in their season through the rain and the sun. That's a sign of God's blessing, a sign of God's mercy upon the whole of mankind. And yes, we can say there are droughts and there are famines and there are parts of the world that suffer terribly. But Paul is speaking generally that is true, that there are in parts of the world all the time there are things growing. And there is food for us to eat, and there is water for us to drink. And many of the problems of famine and of hunger and of starvation, I think, are caused by sinfulness of man, by greed, by people in positions of power not allowing food to get and help to get to people who need it. There's often people suffer hunger because of war, and war is the heart of the wicked heart of man in hatred against other men. But generally, God has given us rain from heaven and crops in their seasons. And Jesus himself said further on in Matthew chapter 5, he causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. God is merciful to everybody. However evil or wicked they are in their hearts, however good they are, however loving and faithful to God they are, or however far from God they are, God is merciful and good because of his general revelation, the way he's created this world and the way he causes it to continue. And the sun rises and the rain rains. And the Apostle Paul in Athens says this: God wants people to reach out and find him, for in him we live and move and have our being. So God desires that everyone should seek him. He's placed nations and peoples in different parts of the world, and he desires that everyone should seek him. And in fact, Paul goes on to say that God is not far from any of us. And probably the most telling verses in Psalm 19. The heavens declare the glory of God. There is no speech or language where their voice is not heard. There is no speech or language where their voice is not heard. So all somebody needs to do is look up and look, see the creation. And if they open their eyes of understanding, if they can see the creation as God has made it, the whole creation declares the fact that there is this God, and that he's glorious, and he's merciful, and he's good to everyone, and that he exists, and that he has compassion, compassionate forbearance upon humanity, all of whom are under his power. He doesn't treat us as our sins deserve. There are many millions walking around this earth today who are not being treated as their sins deserve. God has not wiped them out. He has not brought their lives to an end. He allows them to live and move and have their being under his control, under his authority. And people can talk as though God was either doesn't exist, or if he does exist, then he's cruel and harsh and uncaring. But look at all that we've read from the scriptures as to what God does for us. He is merciful to everyone. People can't see it, or they don't want to see it, or maybe they're using it as an excuse so that they don't have to humble themselves and acknowledge that there is this great God in authority over them, and that they need to bow themselves down and humble themselves and put their trust in him and admit that they are sinful creatures. And another aspect of God's general mercy is that it's undeserved compassion. It's undeserved. It is, and perhaps that's the definition of mercy. If it was deserved, then it wouldn't be mercy. But God's mercy is undeserved. We don't deserve any good thing from the Lord. And yet he has given us not just food and clothing and shelter and friends and good things in our lives, but he's given us the greatest gift, our Lord Jesus Christ. And surely that's the greatest and most wondrous expression of God's mercy. We think we deserve, well, perhaps we think we deserve, we naturally have a tendency to think that we deserve things from God. We deserve good from the Lord. Perhaps we slip into that as Christians, that we begin to take for granted what he's done for us. And that we begin to take his undeserved mercy as though, you know, we have a right to know what's going to happen to us next month, or we have a right to have our life planned out, or we have somehow as a responsibility to give us this, that and the other. But that's not the case. He's under no obligation to give us anything, and yet he does. He is so merciful. And so, more specifically, God's specific mercy. We come to Psalm 19 again. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. God speaks his truth to individuals and he converts them. He saves them. God speaks. God has spoken. He's spoken through his prophets. He's spoken through Moses. He's spoken in these last days through his precious son. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The God converts sinners and turns us from being rebels to being friends of God. Converts us from being distant and far from him to being close to him. God has mercy in a very specific and special and real way. And it's demonstrated through the Lord Jesus Christ, through his life and through his death and through his resurrection and through this ongoing outworking of that wonderful work of salvation that he performed through the power of the Holy Spirit, who was poured out at Pentecost. We're commanded to go out into all the world and to preach the gospel to every creature. And he has assured us that there will be conversions, that there will be disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Make disciples of all nations, God says. And so his specific mercy is clearly demonstrated when souls are converted, when lives are changed, when people go from being uncontrolled drunkards and blasphemers and leading wild lives to being faithful, joyful disciples of Jesus Christ, and whose lives are changed dramatically by the power of God. And all that can happens when we come in humility and brokenness to the Lord. That reminds us of the tax collector who was in the temple, and there was a tax collector and there was a Pharisee, and the tax collector wouldn't even go up to the front. He beat his breast and cried out, "Lord, have mercy upon me, a sinner." He knew his unworthiness. He knew his undeserved, or how he did not deserve the mercy of God. And all he could do was not offer his wealth and show off and show people how generous he was and how spiritual he was. No, he just bowed down and said, "Lord, have mercy upon me, a sinner. I don't deserve your mercy, but have mercy upon me." And Jesus said he was the one that went away justified. He was the one that went away right with God that day. He knew his guilt. He knew his status before God. And he pleads for God's undeserving mercy, his undeserving compassionate forbearance. And God shows that compassion to each one of us when we humbly put our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 5 tells us that God demonstrates his love or his mercy towards us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. While we were yet sinners, to think that we were so far from the Lord, and yet he died for us, even while we were rebels, even while we were dead in trespasses and sins. And so each one of us, if we're believers here tonight, we can testify to our own experience of God's mercy in our lives, and praise God that he's opened our eyes to see that the heavens do declare the glory of God, and that the heavens do show his handiwork, and that the sun shining and the rain raining and the crops growing, and all the blessings, that they do truly come from a merciful heavenly Father, who hasn't forgotten us, who gives us daily what we need. Praise God that we can be thankful to him tonight. So, the mercy of God, God's general mercy and God's specific mercy upon undeserving sinners. That brings us to the second point, the mercy of Christ's disciples, the mercy shown by Christ's disciples, because God having shown mercy to us, there is an expectation, a command by the Lord that we should then show mercy to one another, show mercy to other people, not just other Christians, other believers, but to mercy to unbelievers as well. I mentioned at the beginning that parable of the unmerciful servant and how the master said, "Shouldn't you have shown mercy to that person who was indebted to you? Because I have shown mercy to you. You should treat him in the same way that I've treated you. In the same way that we should have mercy and treat others in the same way that our God has treated us." And Jesus did give that warning about being cast into jail until he paid the last penny. And that's quite a solemn warning to us. But this, the Lord Jesus Christ is saying, "Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy." And we can thank God that as Christians we have received that mercy, and God lives within us by his Spirit, and therefore we can know the enabling to be merciful to other people. It's not all down to us, and not entirely down to us, trying our hardest somehow to be merciful to people when we don't want to be. It's by the power of God that we can be enabled to have mercy upon one another. And Jesus himself says that we should be willing to forgive our brother or our sister when they offend us. In Matthew chapter 18, he calls us to forgive each other. He calls us to not be hard upon them because they've offended us. And that's a difficult thing. It can be a hard thing, a difficult thing, when we feel as though we're hurting inside, and that somehow we need to perhaps not fight back, but we could, if you're in a big church, then you can quite easily avoid people if you don't want to, if we haven't got the humility to face them. If we're proud in our hearts and we think, "Oh, I'm not going to speak to that person ever again." I suppose in a big church you could meet gather together and avoid them. But the Lord is saying, well, we shouldn't be doing that. We should be having forgiveness towards them. We should be having mercy upon them. Because after all, we ourselves have received mercy and forgiveness by our Heavenly Father for all the things that by which we've offended him. And there's another example. Paul refers to it in his letter to the church at Corinth about people taking each other to court. Well, we don't know what the issues were, but brother was taking brother to court. So there's obviously some issue there. And Paul says, surely it's better for you to bear the wrong that has been done to you. Bear it. Just accept it. Don't go taking such and such a person to court. He's your brother in Christ. Forgive him. Have mercy upon him. We're also called, and this is a very hard, a very great challenge. Jesus calls us to have mercy upon not only unbelievers, but upon those who hate us because we're Christians, upon those who persecute us and who say all manner of evil against us falsely for the Lord's sake. Love your enemies, Jesus says. Pray for those who persecute you. Well, that's so radical. It's so different to the way the world thinks. If somebody harms somebody, then people feel an absolute right to resent them and hate them and to get their own back and have revenge. But God says, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. What unbelievers do to us or say to us or say about us is for the Lord to deal with. And he is the just judge. He will sort it out rightly one day. It's for us to love our enemies and pray for those who persecute you. The Lord Jesus Christ himself loved his enemies, didn't he? He loved those and had compassion upon the Jews who were wanted to stone him, then they wanted to throw him off the edge of a cliff. And he had compassion upon them. And yes, he did tell them that some of them, that they were a brood of vipers, that they were whitewashed tombs. But there wasn't vengeance in his heart for them. There was compassion. And he was there as their Messiah, as the one who had fulfilled the prophecies that these Jews knew all about. They'd no doubt memorized much of the Old Testament, and they knew what to look for. The Messiah was coming, and yet they rejected him. Jesus had compassion upon them and had mercy upon them. And so we too are called to have mercy upon those who despise us as Christians, those who would mock us and reject us for our faith. And another aspect of the mercy that the Lord Jesus Christ wants us to show is to the weak and to the sick and to those who are struggling in life for one reason or another. To have mercy, not necessarily from a distance, but to actually have mercy to the extent where we might, partake of or enter into their sufferings in a way, to bear with them, to help them, to listen to them, to, I suppose, be that caring shepherd that the Lord Jesus Christ is to each of us. To have mercy, to have compassion, to bear with somebody in their struggles, in their weakness, in their difficulties, in their trials, to be merciful to them as they pour out their heart, perhaps in anguish over something. I think that's something of the kind of mercy that the Lord Jesus wants us to show to other people. And thus we glorify him. We demonstrate that we belong to him. We demonstrate that we're following this wonderful servant of God this suffering servant. We are following in his footsteps. We are identifying ourselves with him. And through that, we can receive God's blessing of his mercy. We'll come to that shortly. So I wonder, we've got this mission coming up. As a church, are we preparing ourselves in our hearts to show mercy to those who are outside? Who are outside this building, but outside of Christ? Are we preparing our hearts to be merciful to those who perhaps lead lives that are so different to our own, and that that to show mercy to people who perhaps we wouldn't naturally mix with, to show mercy and be willing to get alongside those who are perhaps of no understanding of Christianity, who never have even heard of the Bible or the Lord Jesus Christ, who have no clue about what true biblical Christianity really is. Are we preparing our hearts to be merciful to the lost, to the tax collectors and sinners, to the ones that Jesus mixed with, the ones that the Pharisees looked down upon and despised? Let's beware that we're not have the attitude of the Pharisees, but let us have the attitude of the Lord Jesus Christ, because he mixed with the tax collectors and the Pharisees, the tax collectors and the sinners and the lowest of the low, the people that we regarded as the lowest ones in society. As our mission week approaches, are we willing and ready to show the mercy of Christ to these people? Because it's through these kind of means that the Lord will communicate his gospel, communicate the fact that Christ died for sinners, and through that we can share the gospel, this gospel of salvation, with them. The mercy of God expressed through our lives to those who are outside the kingdom of God, those who are not deserving of it. Remembering that we too are not deserving of it either. We're only here because God has had his undeserved compassionate forbearance upon us. Are we ready to be merciful? Are we ready to show mercy to these people? So thirdly and finally, we come to the blessing of God's mercy, because God here, the Lord Jesus Christ, has promised blessing, God's blessing upon those who show mercy. God has promised great blessing upon us. The merciful are described as being blessed, happy, contented, in a good state of heart and mind. I guess knowing the peace of God, knowing God's peace within us, despite whatever else is going on in life, whatever circumstances we've got, we can know the peace of God in our hearts and minds, a sense of contentment, knowing that God loves us and cares for us. The blessing of God's mercy, well, it seems to be a paradox, really. How can it be possible that we can show mercy to someone by giving somebody and expecting nothing back? To get nothing back is against the way the world thinks, isn't it? I've known a number of people in work situations who think they would only do something for somebody if they can get something back. I've done this for you, therefore you're in my debt. They would look down upon people and think that we're a loser or we're weak if we actually show mercy to someone and not and actually give something to them and give our time to them and help them. And not expect anything back. We're a loser. We're losers, but we're not losers. We're not a loser in God's sight. We're not a loser in God's sight. We are those who gain much with God if we show mercy. God, the Lord Jesus Christ, has promised blessing, the blessing of being shown mercy. And if we're believers in Christ, then we've already been received a great, huge amount of mercy of God. that mercy of God that will keep us with him forever and ever. The mercy of God, new life in Christ, the prospect of a renewed resurrection body. Surely that's an expression of God's mercy that doesn't just leave us to live forever in a weak and failing body, but he's promised us a renewed body. And that surely is an example of God's mercy that will go on forever and ever and ever. But he has promised that we will receive mercy. And maybe if we don't feel in need at the moment, we might not be weighed down under any terrible trial or difficulty or circumstance. But there may come a day, without wanting to be too negative and gloomy, but there may come a day when we're in need. There may come a day when we are desperate and longing for a brother or sister in Christ to come alongside us, to whom we can pour out our heart, or someone who can actually help us practically, for them to show mercy to us. And maybe in that day we'll think, well, maybe if I'd shown mercy to other people, maybe God is speaking to me and saying, you know, if you'd shown mercy to other people, then maybe I would receive God's mercy sooner. But the Lord is good. He does bring people alongside us, doesn't he? He does raise people up to help us in one way or another, at different times in life, in different circumstances. And I think that's an example of God's mercy, practically. He uses all of us, if we're willing to be used, to help one another, to show that mercy to our brothers and sisters in Christ who are in need at some particular time. So yes, the ultimate, the final mercy of God to us undeserving sinners will be being presented to before the Lord Jesus Christ and seeing him face to face and knowing that we shall be with him forever and ever. And he receives us into his glorious presence forever. As the man said in the parable of the talents, "Well done, good and faithful servant, enter into your master's happiness." Are we going to be those who want the Lord Jesus Christ to say to us, "Well done, good and faithful servant, enter into your master's happiness"? Well, if so, then let us show mercy and know that the Lord has promised the blessing of God's mercy to us. Let's be comforted to know the Lord has promised mercy, and he always keeps his promise. He never breaks his word. He is true. Tonight, if we summarise, we've thought about God's mercy to mankind generally, to sinners specifically, particularly through the immense mercy that is shown through the Lord Jesus Christ. We've looked a little bit and thought a bit about what we can do to show mercy to other people. And we've thought a little bit about the reward of that, God's reward, the blessing of his mercy in our lives now and forevermore. So, let us be merciful to others as our Father in heaven has been merciful to us, and so he shall then bless us with continuing mercy for eternity. Amen.